Could call this show Two Guys in a Podcast.
Two Guys, One Podcast?
Yeah. Two Guys, One Podcast.
Yeah, we're going to be fucking looking for Pornhub sponsors if Falcor doesn't get their shit together.
Who do you think sponsors Pornhub? You think it's like anal beads and stuff?
I don't know, dude. I
we
think
have to
it's
look
a
into
budget.
this. Do you think we could learn marketing and advertising from Pornhub?
So Pornhub is owned by, what's his name? He's an old Jewish man. It's very
I don't
telling.
Know. All I know is whatever you say going forward is going on the show. What's up, Max Horner Nation? Here we are. We're back at it again. Jeff, you're looking dapper today, dog.
I can't button the top card because my neck's too fat.
Well, so, stop wearing children's shirts from Gap.
Children, it's a medium, I think. or a Marge. I'm not
tell
sure.
You what. I'll tell you what. That is the biggest problem that I've come across is when you look at like what they say you should weigh based off of your height, right?
Yeah.
So I'm 5'4". If I got the right shoes on, I'm 5'5". But it doesn't change what the government and the health, you know, department all say that I should weigh, which is about 125 to 130.
On the BMI, you're obese.
Oh, yeah. I'm super obese. I'm like 30 pounds overweight. Right. So, like, I should wear, based off of my height, I should wear a small.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't fit into anything small. So I buy the medium, and those are a struggle as well. Like certain areas of my body, like my chest, my neck, things like that don't fit. Whereas if I have to upgrade to a large, then I'm just wearing a freaking dress the whole time. It's like my entire clothing line needs to be upgraded, or I got to find a store for short, thick people. There's got to be a short, thick out there.
Even the athletic fit shirts, the neck is still always way too small.
Yeah.
They blouse in weird places. So I don't wear too many collared shirts. Like even when I was having to wear collared shirts all the time, I'd have to go get them fucking custom tailored because they don't fit like normal human beings. Like if you're slightly athletic, they just don't fit off the shelf, off the rack.
That's why the 80s was so baller, dude. Because you just cut that shit, put a little slit, and you're like,
that's how it should be, dude.
You're in. You're in.
So what are we talking about today?
More than me. All right. Okay. So,
hold on. Full disclosure, I maxed out at what, 13 years old in 89. So I'm not that familiar with the 80s.
So you remember more of it than I do. Because I remember when I was 13 and I was in the 90s, bro. All right, so today, not going to be a long one, all right? But I do have a format for you today, so we're just not throwing shit against the wall for epic podcast.
Fair enough.
We're going to talk about a couple things. One, some of it's going to have to do with your performance and how, like, what do you value in terms of your shooting performance? And then if you're looking to level up, where are you putting your chips? And then the final thing we're going to talk about is my trainer, because I'm dropping a bombshell on you today.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be epic. Okay. So let's start with the first part. Okay. In terms of shooting, right? Now, a lot of this is geared towards competitive shooters, right? Because that is what I have been doing. It's been a huge competitive shooter. You are more injected onto the hunting side. But then I also train military. So we're kind of wrapping everything up. And then the company is known for its law enforcement programs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in no shortage of where we're applying these skills at. So we're always trying to keep it focused in a general direction and not so much just one specific area. So with that, flexibility, strength, and endurance. What would you say in terms of those three? Like if this was I think I've heard it somewhere before, like the tactical triad or some bullshit, like somebody's Gucci phrase for something they were trying to teach. So if this were the performance triad, flexibility, strength, and endurance, right? How much weight would you put into each one? right? Because what I've noticed is as I've gotten stronger, I've lost flexibility in certain areas, right? Like, it's harder to wipe my butt. But outside of that, like, my legs still bend. You know, I can sit back on my feet, whereas some people can't. Maybe it's flexibility, maybe it's injury related, but I feel like these three, people overlook them, right? Because if they're training for shooting, they're thinking about like going to the range, making wind calls, but they're not putting the effort into their body.
Well, and here's the problem is where do I put the weight of each individual category at? But they all matter. So we have to have a baseline of each, right? We have to have a functional baseline of strength and a functional baseline of flexibility and a functional baseline of endurance, right? If I said that I think strength is the most important, but you had zero endurance and zero flexibility, then it's pointless. So if I was going to say that one of them for me held more weight, with the caveat that we have a baseline for the other two, I would say flexibility for me.
Okay, so let's do this. Instead of ranking each one on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of how you value it, let's do it where each one is a percentage. So you're going to give me a 1 through 10 number, and that's going to represent a percentage. And whatever you say, that's going to subtract and only leave you with X amount for the remaining two.
Okay, I'm going to say it's going to be 60, 20, and 20. Ooh. With flexibility, endurance, and strength. And this is assuming that we have a functional baseline of each, right?
Okay.
This is assuming that I can carry my equipment.
Yeah.
That I'm strong enough to lift it and do whatever I need to do with it. And I'm also have enough endurance to be able to get through stages and get and hike that mountain and do whatever I need to do competently enough to get by. And then where do I put my extra percentages? It's going to be flexibility, which really you would think for me wouldn't be where I'd put it. But I think this is why it's so individual, because for me, when I'm the more flexible I am, the less amount of pain I'm in. So a lot of my sacrum pain, what I've thought was back pain my entire life, well, I mean, it is, but has to do with tight hamstrings, poor sacrum mobility, and some other shit. So for me, the more flexible I am, the stronger the other two end up being, because I'm hurting less. It's because I'm more flexible. I'm not injuring myself as much. So therefore, I can train more, and I'm stronger, and I have more endurance. So for me, the importance of like my physical fitness has always been in flexibility.
So this is a challenging question, because when you think about flexibility, right, it has an immediate effect on your shooting.
Oh, for sure.
Immediate, right? If you got to get into a position and you are fighting flexibility, then you're unstable, your body's uncomfortable, like you've got movement, like you're battling the shooting position. Whereas endurance and strength, one, they play together and they don't have an immediate effect, right? Because, I mean, you can be weak, you can still find a way to get your rifle into the position, right? Unless we're talking like an unsupported shooting style, then
100%.
You know, like if you're weak, you have to completely rely on bone support, right? Which should be the way it is anyway. But strength and endurance tie together, because if you're strong but you don't have endurance, then you're not going to last. And if you have endurance but you're weak, then you're having the same problems, right? You can last all shooting position, you can last all competition, like whatever it is. So those two, they don't have an immediate effect. They have a entirety of the day type deal, right? And it's interesting, because at first I was going to say, well, flexibility, I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to say, I like where you're at with 60%. And then for strength, I was going to jump that to 30%, and then endurance 10. And initially my thinking was like, okay, a shooting stage is 2 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
right? On traditional PRS style matches. But then if you take away that stage and you focus on an entire weekend of competition, an entire all day, match. Now that endurance is worth more than 10% to you, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why strength and endurance hold the same weight for me, because you can't have one without the other. You know, yeah. You can either have the one push up, the one rep max, or you can have a guy that, you know, can fucking bench press 10 pounds all day, right? Like, neither one of those count. You have to have those work together.
Those are both very low numbers. You know that?
Whatever.
The one push up or the 10 pound dumbbell guy. Got it. Not numbers that I would have used, but I like where your head's at. So I thought it would be an interesting topic because, you know, there's people out there now who are starting to get on board with this, where they're looking at what yoga poses can I do? What stretching routines can I incorporate into my everyday life, into my, you know, shooting routine before I go compete to get more flexible, to be better in some of these shooting positions? And it's like, oh shit, people are catching on, right?
Yeah.
Now, how about the strength and endurance? Now, you don't have to be able to necessarily lift, you know, 500 pounds, but if your rifle weighs 20 pounds, let's say you're not all the way up in that 25 pound heavy gun range, but you're not down in that lightweight 12 gun range, right? 12 pound, you're at 20. Whatever it is that you're going to be doing with that rifle, you should be able to do that, right? So you're building strength with endurance. How many times are you going to move that 20 pound rifle? Or where are you going to have to carry it? You know, like, so not necessarily the amount of strength, but the ability to carry the stuff and move it freely without, you know, every time you pick up your rifle, Jeff, what percentage of performance decrease do you have? Like, I think that'd be a valuable question to know. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to pick my rifle up 100 times today in this competition, by the time I get to the last stage, right, where am I at in terms of energy, performance, endurance, right? Because you see it all the time. You have competitions that are not too hard. Everybody starts off fast. Everybody starts off nice, right? It's the guys at the end that are still performing close to where they started that are winning. Whereas the rest, everybody else, it hits 11 o'clock and like, it's a roller coaster ride to the bottom in terms of like, oh, I'm so tired, sun's hot. Like, so I think these are areas that have to be looked at, whether you're competing, you know, for the law enforcement side, I think it's a completely different game, right? Now you have areas that you have to move through. You have to get into a position. You could be out of breath. You still have to make decisions, right? Same thing with the military, like moving through areas, getting into a position, like you're exhausting your resources, your bodily resources, right? But then, you know, how many cops you see sitting on rooftops for 8 hours a day, fucking just baking in the sun?
Yep.
You know, so like there's an endurance factor there with just being in the sun.
The question of like every time you pick up your rifle, you know, how much percentage wise, you know, how much heavier does it get?
Yeah.
Because, you know, this morning I was running some carbine drills, just doing dry fires. And every time, like my hand is still not 100%. So it's functional. I can use it, but I have very little grip strength and I have some pain going through my forearm. So every time I picked that rifle up and every time I shoulder mounted it, it got heavier and heavier and harder for me to manipulate. After about 5 minutes, I just had to put it away. So, you know, that's an extreme example, but you know, if my hand was, if I just had weak hands or I just had weak shoulders or whatever, I was just weak in general.
And so,
through an entire weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was, you know, 5 minutes that I gassed out today, but you know, stretch that over a weekend and you're gassed out on day two.
Oh yeah. Totally gassed out. And I remember those matches. I remember not being in such a higher level of fitness where by stage, you know, let's say you got 10 stages a day, by stage seven, I'm feeling it. I'm like, fuck, you know, and then you got to do it all again tomorrow. A lot of this all ties into the nutrition aspect that we did with Jen.
For sure.
Because you incorporate flexibility, strength, endurance. You start working on those parts of your game. But then you incorporate the nutrition part of it, right? And now your body's running clean. And I'm telling you, I think this is the next step in terms of how could you increase your performance without increasing your shooting skill. And with all of these things, well, I mean, obviously flexibility is directly shooting related, but strength, endurance, nutrition, they also all affect mental. As the rest of your body starts to get tired and exhausted, you think your mind isn't getting tired and exhausted?
Oh yeah. That's all. And it becomes a point. That's all you can think about.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to get to the next stage or just get this one over with because you're exhausted.
Yeah. 100%. It's funny. You said picking up your carbine, doing 5 minutes of work and you're like, fuck, I got to put this down. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've spent how many episodes talking, discussing training for Sniper Adventure Challenge. I'm already back at it. Right. Like,
good.
I'm limited. I'm still trying to like, I'm feeling it from this year's competition. I am feeling it like the recovery. I had to do a workout yesterday that I've done twice in the past and my time was double. And I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? But I mean, I'm still in that, like trying to get back from what the sack did to me physically.
Yeah. And if you were able to hop right back into your training and it was fine, that means you didn't really push yourself at sack.
Well, we pushed, but based off what you're saying, like you spent 5 minutes doing this, right? Well, I have new exercises. They have to be done every day before I do my actual workout. And they're all built around strengthening the micro muscles around the knee so that I don't have this problem again next year.
Nice. Okay.
These workouts kicked my fucking ass, dude. And they were all with no weight. The one workout is like, actually, I think I had like 10 or 15 pound dumbbells for one of them, but you're in a lunge position and then you stand up on one foot and you bring the knee that was back on the lunge. Mm-hmm. You bring that knee up parallel to your body.
Okay.
So you're standing there on one foot and then you do an overhead with these light ass dumbbells and then you go back down. And then you come back up, right? And so you do 8 each leg. I'm telling you what, feeling these tiny little muscles in my feet and my calves, trying to stabilize my balance.
So it's crazy. So that's similar to what I do as my core workout, which is, except when you come up from that lunge, you rotate. So instead of just going straight up, you're actually rotating my trunk from my upper half along with the weights. And my feet hurt so bad at the end of all my workouts because of my stabilizing muscles and the knees, my stabilizing muscles on my knee and my foot. And you can just see my foot doing this the whole fucking time. And it's just on fire. And those are the ones that save you from injury.
Absolutely. But what, like the point I was getting at is like, I'm struggling with that right now. There was another workout where you didn't have any weight and I'm still sitting there like, what is happening to me right now? How am I struggling with this? The struggle today is going to be less tomorrow. And then tomorrow, the next day, each day is going to be less and less and less, just like holding your carbine for 5 minutes. Yep. You're like, damn, my hand is not back to where it should be. But you don't think about the end, right? Like, I feel like that's where people get into trouble is they think about the goal, the goal line, the finish line. They think about the end. Like, I just want to be at the end.
Yep.
If you don't think about the end, right, you just think about the process. You think about doing that workout, completing it, holding that carbine for 15 minutes, bringing your knee up to your chest, like whatever it is that you're doing. You just think about completing the workout. And then the next day you do it again and again and again. And before you know it, you're doing things without having to think about the finish line because you've already made it there, right? You've already accomplished what you set out to do, but you didn't mentally drag yourself down because you didn't think about just wanting to be over. You just thought about like, let me get through this day. Let me get through this one specific workout that's supposed to help me, whether it's stretching or something that you're going to do for strength. Like on the website, Jeff, we put a PDF booklet, and I don't have the numbers. I don't know how many people download it. I don't even know if people know about it, but there's a booklet in there on exercises to do with your rifle that would help you move and increase your mobility through shooting stages.
Yep.
So you can download this book and you can go through and you can look at what stretches we have. You can look at what exercises do with the weight of your rifle, right? They might suck. They might be easy, but the more you do them, the easier it's going to be when it comes game time, right? But I see that a lot. I see, like, even myself, sometimes I'll catch myself looking at, like, the finish line. Like, goddamn, can I just...
Well, and people get caught up, and that's the problem. People get caught up with the finish line, right? Like, I've always said to myself, the journey is the destination, which sounds totally stupid, but I don't have a goal. I'm not trying to be the best golfer in the world. I'm not trying to win the Masters. I'm not trying to go out and win SAC next year. Right. So I need to focus on what I'm actually doing, which is the training, right? The getting better every day. Like that's my destination. My destination is what I'm doing, which is this journey of just of bettering myself.
Yeah.
So I almost never look at the end goal because I don't really care. Like the finish line moves every day. So I don't necessarily need to chase it.
Yeah. I love having a goal. Like if it's something I'm preparing for, you know, like this year, I want to run a Spartan race before we do the SAC.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, so I just want to do a Spartan race, man, half marathon Spartan race. And then I want to do the SAC. So now I have these goals, right? And like last year or the year before when we were preparing for Sniper Challenge and we come out with this workout and we come out with this diet and you know, the goal is to be the best you can be at these challenges, at these goals that you set, right? But you're not focused on that long term. You're focused on just getting through every single day and you pay attention to what's happening, right? You're recording your times. You're recording the strength that you're gaining, your body composition. Right. And then other things start to happen. And because you're paying attention to the journey, you're starting to notice these changes. Like,
yep.
I didn't get into these workouts so that I could, you know, build 15 pounds of muscle and shred my fucking midsection for, you know, a Calvin Klein ad. I was focused on just building the best physical body that I could that would get me through the SAC and hopefully win. Everything else was just a byproduct. Right. So like you have all of these other additional benefits, like you feel better, your energy's there, like your flexibility, like everything. So I agree with you. You got to pay attention to the journey. And it's awkward to say that because you sit there and you're like, well, how do I do that? How do I just focus on? And for me, it's just each day, right? Like completing that workout to the entirety or, you know, pushing myself to the point where it's like, I feel like I can't go anymore, but I can because
but there's also a difference moving. Between it's hard to focus on the journey when you're a guy that wakes up and goes, oh, I hate this, but I have to do it anyhow. Then it's hard. Whereas then there's people like you, like myself, that wake up and you're like, this is going to suck, but I love it. I'm down for it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And that's where it's easier to focus on the journey because you're just like, you're kind of just, I don't say living in the moment because that sounds stupid, but you are. I mean, you're fucking enjoying what you're doing, even though it sucks, just dude, because you know what it's doing. So
I
keep track of my progress like a lot.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me because I'm constantly looking at videos, looking at numbers, and just going back through and just keeping track of my progress.
Like, I will get a workout text to me and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
What? You know, and I'll do it and I'll hate it. But I know that after the workout's over, for the rest of the day, I feel so much better.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Like,
and I'm not even thinking about the end goal. I'm just thinking about like, man, after this workout's over and I'm taking that cold shower in the gym, I'm going to feel amazing. And I also get to eat.
Yeah. I feel like 90% of the time I go see my trainer, I go there, I'm just talking shit to him the whole time. I'm like, you're just making, these aren't even exercises. You're just making the shit up to fuck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
And it's a laugh and it's a joke and we have fun. It sucks. But, you know, you have to make the best of it.
There's a lot of F-bombs and I hate yous tossed at my trainer's direction. Yeah, yeah, 100%. So if you're looking to level up for any type of shooting related arena, competing, hunting, law enforcement, military, we're specifically talking about leveling up your shooting performance.
Okay.
Where are you putting your chips? You're going all in, right? Now, it's unrealistic to say that you can only be the best and pick one thing, but until you get more chips, right, you're going to focus on this one thing. You're putting all your chips on that one fucking thing. Mm-hmm. Red, black, double zero. What are you picking?
So I'm picking flexibility. And okay. I'm picking it because if I increase
this,
my flexibility.
Hold on. This doesn't have to be those three. This can be anything.
Oh, well.
Wider scope. I know I'm dropping some crazy bombs on you and I didn't give you any time to prep.
So let's assume I have a baseline of each.
Okay.
If I'm going to want to level up my shooting, I'm still going to say flexibility because I'm going to say that I already have a baseline. No big deal. Just construction. I'm going to have a baseline that is passable for each one. Right.
Yep.
So I can either go to the range and pull a bunch of triggers. I could go to the gym and work out a bunch, or I can increase my flexibility, which through active stretching, through passive stretching, I can actually also increase strength, which is also going to be more resistant to injury, which is going to allow me to train more, which is going to allow me to have more trigger time. So if I really focus on active, dynamic, and then passive stretching, I can kind of cover a couple bases with just focusing on flexibility.
No, that sounds, I like it. I like what you said. I think you might be changing my mind a little bit. I didn't really have an answer picked out for myself either. Yeah, I just came up with this question and said, I'm going to drop a bomb on both of us.
But it's biased too, because that's kind of a lot of what I already do when I'm training for myself anyhow.
Yeah.
So I don't fucking know. Like the easy answer is go to the fucking gym and work out. Like, okay. Or just go to the range and shoot more or run these drills. But we kind of already have to assume that you're already have a baseline of each skill set or each trait.
Yeah.
So you're already putting in work at the range. You're already hitting the gym, but you need to level up, which means you need to put 100% to something else also.
Yeah.
Fucking flexibility, man. Yoga all day.
I think you convinced me because I was going to pick something like my mental game, like remembering where targets are, remembering what my dopes are, like something mentally. Like, I feel like so many points are lost in a competitive realm because the mental game fails.
Yep. 100%. So
if you were going to gain points from being in a competition, the mental game is where you probably lose the most points. But now that you say everything that you said, like, there's probably a lot of points lost because an individual can't get into a fucking position that he needs to get into, or he can't get stable because his body won't bend or flex or get that way, right? So they're almost, it'd be interesting data to go through an entire competition from the first place guy to the last place guy and kind of look at where do their misses come from, right? And we're going to take experience out of it completely.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's last place, was he missing because he's not trained, or is he missing because he couldn't get into the positions? He's not making good win calls. He didn't, like, he couldn't remember the conduct of the stage. Like, was it mental or was it physical? And then I think your meat and potatoes would be in the middle of the pack. You start looking at those individuals who've been to how many competitions, right? They're getting stagnant. They're not improving. And now this is where that question comes in. If you're that middle of the pack guy and you're like, I need to level up. I need to get from 30th to 20th and I need to do it in the next 30 days. Where am I putting my money?
And how many of those people,
I don't think you're wrong.
How many of those people have found themselves in really good positions? They're just not quite leveling up. They have preferred positions that they get themselves into, but they're not realizing they're only preferred because they're having to compensate because they can't get any deeper, or they can't squat any deeper, or they can't flex their ankle anymore. And maybe they're only in the positions they're in because they lack mobility that they didn't know they needed.
That's a good question. Maybe they do know. Maybe they just don't want to do anything about it.
Yeah. Or they're like, this is a human body. This is where most people are. So this is a position I need to get in. And they just don't even think about it.
Yeah. I definitely have heard the excuse before where I'm like, all right, so I'm going to get into this position and I'll drop down into like this kneeling, and like my left foot is like from toe to heel flat, right? From toe to kneecap, everything's on the ground. I'm flexible. I've built that into my body. So I sit down and get in that position. I'm in this perfect kneeling. And then I get told like, oh, I don't bend that way. My ankle won't do that. I'm like, okay, it won't do that now, or it won't do that ever. Because that is the question, right? And I feel like if you have titanium pins in your ankle and you shattered that bitch on a motorcycle ride fucking 20 years ago, got it. We need to compensate for that. But if there's nothing physically wrong with you outside of the fact that for the past 20 years, you have done nothing physical to improve your body and you just don't bend that way, then there is something you can do about it, but you just choose not to, you know? So I think there's two sides of that coin, but I love hearing the excuse of, I don't bend that way. I'm like, but why? But why don't you bend that way? So, all right, that was good. That was a good little go at how to improve. I don't think any of the answers would be wrong, right? I think if you put all your chips into something and everything else remains the same, you're probably still going to see an uptick, you know? But there's got to be an answer for it. There's got to be something that each individual person can look at and say, I need to improve this. And then they got to dedicate themselves to actually leveling that area up. So, all right, the last thing we'll talk about is my trainer. Jeff, what do you know about my trainer?
Zero.
Zero.
I know absolutely nothing about your trainer other than he or even she, I don't fucking know, gives you some really awful workouts.
Okay. So nobody knows anything about my trainer. I have kept a tight lid on this, and the whole thing came down to I met this person in Hawaii, right? At the climbing gym, struggling to climb, first time, and I just gave some pointers. Found out that this person was an Olympic lifter. Like, on the U.S. Olympic team. And I was like, God damn, that's cool. I was like, hey, I've been trying to learn how to do a proper snatch and I need help. Like, I can't get past a certain weight. And they're like, okay, cool. So that's where it all started, was me wanting to learn how to do a snatch and them wanting to climb, right? So then I approached with, hey, I'm going to do this competition. This is what it's all about. It's extremely hard. It takes everything that you got. And I want to do something different that I haven't done before. Okay, cool. I think I can help you. But that's not really my area. That's not my area of expertise. And I'm like, okay. But at the same time, you were able to put up with me at the gym trying to learn how to snatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like my demeanor, my attitude, my cursing, like everything. You were able to put up with that. I trust you. Can we do this? Yeah, I think so. But I'm still a little weary about never having trained a person for this before. I'm like, all right, cool. I won't tell anybody who you are until it's over.
Fair enough.
So the he is a she. And she has beat my ass. Okay, she has beat my ass, but she hasn't really trained anybody for this style of lifting before. So you can see there's a lot of Olympic lifting included into some of my workouts because that mm-hmm. is her background. Yeah. And then I come to her one day and I'm like, hey, I'm gaining weight. I need to go on a diet. We need to get this under control. She's like, I'm not a nutritionist. And I'm like, you're my trainer. I need you to figure it the fuck out. So she sends me this diet. She's like, this is what I was on when I was on the US team. I'm like, okay, this diet sucks. She's like, right now I told you, like having a trainer, it really comes down to like having a person that can deal with you as an individual, because I'm Absolutely. A motherfucker. I'm an
Absolutely.
Asshole, right? So when I say, what is this diet with 1 cup of rice and 3 ounces of meat? Like, who would do this to themselves? And the response is, you shut the fuck up and eat the food that I tell you to eat. I'm like, oh, sorry, my bad, you know? Or I get text a workout and I'm like, are you kidding me? You want me to carry this 45-pound plate up this mountain? You must have lost your shit. And it instantly, the text message comes back. Are you being a pussy right now? And I'm like, oh, shit. She's pulling at my man card right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, it has been the craziest experience, right? So I figured it was time that we allow her to not just be introduced as to what she's done for me, but we got to bring her on the show. She said that she has stories she feels the world needs to know about Tyler.
Yeah. Let's have her on.
So we talk about kind of what her mindset was, because I was blindly following her, right? I think that's where like having a trainer that you feel you can trust
mm-hmm.
comes into play, right? Because as much as I would say like, I fucking hate you for making me do this, I also did it pretty fucking blind. Just like, oh, you're telling me to do this. Like, I got to do it. And that's, no, boom.
That's important, right? Because then you're not second guessing. Like, the reason I'm so all in and don't question my coach, because my coach is a team of physical fitness, physical therapy, and golf coaching. And it's three different individuals, but they all come together for one plan for me. So I trust that everybody knows
yeah
what's best for Jeff. And I don't have to like question it. Like, I'm not going, well, yeah, that's a great exercise, but is my therapist, my physical therapist going to like that? Or is my golf coach going to hate me getting that position? So
yeah,
being able to blindly follow is important, because then you're just all in and you there's no negative thoughts when you're working out.
That was one of the reasons, like when we're talking about like flexibility, strength, endurance, and like how to improve yourself, the journey has been a lot easier when you have somebody that's telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
When they have this outside view looking in and they're asking you, how do you feel today? How is your lower body after those squats the other day? How is this feeling? How's your knees? How's your feet? Like, talk to me, tell me what's going on. And then they also, like, at least she does, she learns about me, right? And she'll tell you when we have her on the show, but what she's learned is that I'm a little bit of a psychopath. Well, whereas if she gives me a workout and I do that workout and I feel like it's not hard enough, I will do more. I'll either do the workout again, I'll go for a run, I'll go into the gym, just crank out some exercises, like whatever it is. And then she'll ask me later, like, how was your workout? I'm like, oh, it was good. Here's my time. It was pretty easy. So I did this afterwards. And I get an earful, like, what the fuck? Why are you doing things I told you not to do? And I'm like, look, I got it. I got this energy in me that has to go somewhere. So like, she adapts, right? So now these workouts are designed to like kind of crush me to the point where I won't want to do anything afterwards. And you heard Dave, well, he didn't actually say it on the show. He texted me afterwards, but telling Dave Castro about some of my workouts, he texted me later. He's like, bro, I think you're overtraining. I was like, I think it's my fault. I think I'm the one forcing this yeah. overtraining, like, mm-hmm. because I don't know when to stop. So, yeah, we got to get her on here. She's got some cool shit to say, kind of talk about why she developed the program and kind of what her thinking was, not having a background in this area, but how she could help. She got some ideas for you. And
awesome.
kind of getting you going in the right direction. So yeah, we got to introduce her to the world. I told her that we would, you know, make sure that, you know, I don't make her look dumb and I would put my best effort forward. I think I did that. Even though we didn't win, I think I did that.
She pulled third place out for her first time training somebody. So
I mean, that's pretty good, right? So, yeah. And you know, she is constantly learning like we are, like the nutrition piece that the nutritionist talked about. Like when we had Jen on the show, mm-hmm. she's listening to the episode. She's like, oh, she's got a lot of really good points. Your ass is going to go on keto next year. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to suck. Yeah. And she's like, we're going to do it in June. I'm like, why so early? Why? She's like, then we're going to do it again in August. I'm like, eh, this is horrible. Right. But I can't preach it enough to anybody out there who's trying to up their physical game. Like having somebody to, whether you're in person, right? I don't need somebody in person. I could go do the workout and I could push myself. And, you know, she knows she's only got to say a few things to me. Like, if she calls me a pussy, it drives me insane. Or if she, like, she has this thing, Jeff, where she give me like this CrossFit workout and she'll say, okay, I need you to do this. And this is the goal time that we're looking for. Right. And I remember the first time she did this to me was probably back in July or August. And she gave me this workout and I was like, okay, it doesn't look too bad. And like, you know, it's supposed to be like a 7 minute round, 7 minutes. When I got finished, it was 16 minutes. And I'm like, I fucking suck. And I like text her. I'm like, 16 minutes. She's like, oh, that's good. I'm like, what the fuck you mean that's good? You said the goal was 7 minutes. I'm double that. She's like, yeah, I just said that so you'd push really hard, right? Like, you got to have a trainer who can do that to you.
Dude, and even if, look, not everybody can afford a trainer. Not everybody has time. Even if you have just a buddy that goes to the gym early and is waiting for you and you're like, fuck, I got to go because I can't be the one that doesn't show up today.
Yeah.
Even if you have that, it's important.
It is important, whether it's a gym workout buddy, it's a trainer, right? Somebody there to, one, if you don't have a trainer, to bounce ideas off of.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're stretching. Make sure you're doing the workouts, right? And that you're also pushing yourself past the limit, right? Because that's where the growth actually happens, is when you push past that level of comfort. I'm sure you can have some growth by taking 10-pound dumbbells and just, you know, doing mm-hmm. 50 curls every day, but it's not the same growth that you're going to experience when you push through that line of failure, right? And I think that was another important aspect of it is, you know, one, she's trying to physically condition myself to survive the sack, right? But then we also have workouts in there where, like, I'm doing this workout, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, okay, for example, one I remember specifically was you have to sprint 1 mile, right? Think about sprinting 1 mile, okay? You're not running. No. You're sprinting. You're sprinting 1 mile. And then you're taking a 3 minute break. And then you're sprinting 1 mile and 3 minute break, right? You're doing this for 10 miles. Think about the, not just the physical exertion, right? But the mental stress that is being placed on you to complete this exercise.
Yeah. All I can think about is how many times I've thrown up during the first 5 miles.
So she has exercises that she's custom come out, or like she's personally invested in this race, this competition, where she's like, okay, it sounds like this competition is going to be 36 hours of extreme fucking, like, got to push through even when it hurts. So some of my workouts are the traditional CrossFit stuff. Some of them are long endurance runs. And then some of them are just designed to push me to that limit so that I'll keep going. So that when the pain starts to hit you in the Sniper Adventure Challenge, you're already used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You've already been there, right? Oh, my feet hurt. Well, your feet hurt back in August too. Shut up, pussy. Keep going.
Yep.
You know, like, that's what it's been awesome. It's been awesome. I told her not to worry. Like, nobody would judge her on my success or failure, right? Like, I don't, even though she's been trying to take the blame on, like, I feel like it's my fault that you got third. I'm like, why? My body failed. We didn't fail, right? Like, a joint decided to not want to participate anymore. And yet we still kept going.
Yeah.
So I think in reality, like, her pushing me all those times is what allowed me to keep going, even through all that pain.
Yeah, right? For sure. And that's what got you third, didn't keep you from
second. 100%.
Yeah. Agreed.
The other thing is, I know that you have a trainer or a physical therapist that's a female. I never had a female trainer before, so this was all new to me. And, like, yeah, things that I would say, I'm like, are you offended? Did I offend you with that? She's like, fuck no. I'm like, all right, cool. Just making sure, you know, like, so yeah, it's been an experience. What do you think in terms of female, male, like, dynamics in training?
You know, it's tough.
Who's better for a male?
Fuck, dude, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just, for me, it's personalities.
Yeah.
It's 100% personalities. It doesn't matter one way or the other. My current coach, my PT coach, my trainer, me and him just get along great.
Yeah.
But, you know, male or female, like, it wouldn't matter. Whoever's going to push me hard and whoever I can have, like, that, I can be a fucking dumbass and talk shit rapport with, that's all that matters to me.
So does it hurt more? Like, we have very similar personalities.
Yeah, it does. When she's talking shit to me more, yeah, it does hurt more.
That right there, that hurts, right? Where 100%. another dude who's in, like, awesome shape is like, you're being a pussy right now. And you're like, yeah.
Like, whatever.
And then when a female says it, it's just something that the way we're kind of wired, where it's like, you can't call me that. You can't say that to me. Like, you just got to push harder.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get her on the show. And she says she has a lot to say. She says she has a lot of things to tell the world about Tyler that nobody knows. So I think we're all in for a very enlightening experience, Jeff. Should be fun. Should be fun. I can't wait until she starts talking shit to you. Anyways, I mean, man,
it's easy to do. And look, if anybody takes away anything from this episode, come up with a goal and don't get so fucking blinders on the goal, right? Like, just enjoy the journey and enjoy, you know, busting your ass to get there. Cause really, that's all that fucking matters. At the very end of the destination, we're all dead. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So just bust your ass to get there and just go do something to work towards whatever that goal is. And just remember that the goal line keeps moving. So it doesn't matter as long as you're doing something.
Yep. So before we get out of here, we went to REI together.
Yes.
We bought some shoes.
Yes.
Have you used them for walking?
I have. I've gone on 4 small rucks. And I think I'm going to take them back and I'm going to switch them out for something else.
Oh, okay.
They're very stable, but no matter what I do with the insoles, there's not enough cushion. Mm. So, and again, because I've been working so much on stability of my feet are stronger than they used to be. So I don't need as much stability as I thought. So I'm going to go back and get a different set.
I was thinking about that. Like, when it comes to the shoe selection, how do you, because what you had said to me was like, I like that stiff, wide, like, I don't want to tilt outside or inside or, you know, pronate or what's the other one?
It's so, yeah, because I overpronate, but it's, or so historically I've overpronated.
Yeah.
But because of the strength I put into my feet and my ankles, I don't really overpronate anymore, but I do struggle with internal hip rotation. So it actually made it worse because it kept making my foot just stay out here. So it was pretty funny.
I was wondering, because if you have that stability in the shoe, it's more challenging to get the cushion that you're desiring.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to end up running a different, my shorter insole that is sort of my stability insole to give me support. And I'll just run it in more cushioned pair of shoes. So I'm going to go to REI this week and try on some more.
Is there any of the ones, I mean, we tried on like 15 pair of shoes. Well, I did. Is there any of the ones that we had looked at that you're
starting
thinking about
over,
revisiting?
I don't fucking remember. I'm just going to start over.
Man, I hope you end up with those La Sportiva Jackal.
Yeah, me too. Those are dope.
Those were some awesome colors, man.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't really stress like you did at REI, because I can just take them back. Not a big deal.
True. True. I'm happy with mine right now. I mean, I haven't had a chance to like walk or run much in them. Again, just like not everything feels 100 yet.
So let me ask you this before we go. Are you going to put more focus on heavyweight long hikes, or are you going to continue to run, which we know is not the gait that you have during SAC?
So I think running is just part of who I am now. So I don't think I can completely give it up. Right? There's a certain thing that I get out of running that just, I enjoy it. Right? Like,
same.
I ain't looking for like, you know, half marathon runs every day, but I do enjoy just getting out there for like a 2 mile little jog and just doing it early in the morning, like listening to a podcast or whatever it is. And like, you just find this rhythm. Right? So I enjoy that. But we are this year incorporating more hikes, whether, you know, in the beginning it's every month or it's every other week. It's not going to be extreme weight, but it is going to be focused more on how to walk versus running, right? You know,
so I'm lucky because of the hills I have around my neighborhood and a baby that I have to push every day at least once or twice. So it's sort of like when you own a dog, you have no choice but to walk it.
Yep.
Not that my baby's a dog anyhow. But it gives me kind of a reason to go out and take a hike. So I just been loading up and just hiking the baby for a mile or two.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, right? Because let's say 5 years ago, when I agreed to do this with Fred, I was hiking every week and we did decent for ourselves. Right. But we had a lost land navigation point that ended up causing havoc, and we took eighth place. The following year, I did less hiking, more running, and we ended up second place. And I felt really good. I had no blisters. I had a better shoe selection. The way I took care of my body and my feet was better. Now, at that time, I was still 35 years old. The next year, it was the same thing. I was like, we did so well last year, and I did very little hiking. So like the next year, I did no hiking. All I did was run, trail run. Like, no, I did not pick up a pack until SAC. And we did good. We did really good. Third place finish. Like, so now I'm getting into the realm of like, you know, people asked me last year, hey, are you hiking to prepare for this? Not really. Here's why. I feel like the hiking just put too much strain on me. And I've been performing really well. Well, this year, didn't do any hiking. And the new terrain, the new area that we were in, it completely changed the stress on my body, right? So now it's weird because something that had worked for 4 years isn't working anymore.
Yeah, how much of this terrain is hiking versus the last few years of terrain, which is a lot of climbing, right? Elevation changes.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a huge difference. Like,
huge and difference. For me,
I love running. Like, I've always ran. But with my neck the last few years, it's like, it puts too much strain on my neck. So I'm going to really focus on heavy hiking, heavy weights, and just load myself up and just trying to hike 3 miles.
Like, yeah.
With what I have.
And I'm with you, man.
That's like, going to work better for me.
I just came off the sack. I'm in great shape, but I'm not trying to push it right now. It's almost like going back to the foundation and saying, let's build this again. You know, let's build it with the exercises. Let's build it with the hiking. But we're not going to overdo it in the beginning. We're going to step by step, progressively work towards that goal all over again. So
let's see what your trainer has in store for you. And
yeah, dude, it'll be a good time. I can't wait to hear all the shit that she talks to you and gets you motivated to get your ass.
For it.
Cool, man. All right, buddy. We got to get out of here. I know we got a meeting to go to in like an hour or so. So we'll get this video published up on the interwebs for everybody to enjoy and talk shit about. And yeah, till next time. Appreciate all you guys listening. What?
Hold on before I forget. Uh-oh. We fixed our notifications.
I knew you were going to say that.
So please like, subscribe, and turn those notifications on because they work. You can get notified every time one of our videos comes out. Also, it helps the algorithm because obviously this is a lot of gun related stuff. So YouTube is going to just kind of push it to the bottom of the pile. So if you want to get notified and you want to watch every podcast, just turn the notifications on. And it'll definitely help our views and it'll help our reach.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for your time. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being our followers. Jeff, brother, I'll talk to you later.